Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jay. How are you?
I am well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. So I got back from vacation on Monday, and like every time I'm gone for a weekend, I have to like it feels like I have a mountain of work that I have to get through, and then just the way the scheduling lined up today, I'm doing like 5 or 6 hours of podcasting today. So that seems to be the natural consequence sometimes, but it was worth it.
Good.
So, real quick before we dive into things, I wanted to give people a quick rundown of, I guess, some of the stuff that's going on with product releases for Crisis Protocol.
Nice.
So, Thor and Valkyrie are in one box. Loki and Hela are in another box. Vision and Winter Soldier are in another box. And then the New York City Commercial Terrain Pack are in another box. And those all release on Friday, February 14th. One quick note on the New York City Commercial Truck. It comes with the components to build either of the two trucks, but it doesn't have enough to build two trucks. And so the picture on the item has kind of both trucks on there. And just be aware that it comes with the components to build either one, but not enough to build both.
Yeah, I noticed, and something I noticed that I liked is it looks like if you build it as a dump, a garbage truck, you can just use the chemical tank as like a chemical tank piece of terrain. So that was my plan. Because you cannot build both at the same time.
Yeah. Then other things that are in the future. So Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight are in another box set. Gamora and Nebula are in another box set. Rocket and Groot are in another box set. And then Star-Lord is in his own box set. And my current expectation is that those will release sometime in March. Mm-hmm. And then this week we found out some a new wave of models, and that's going to be Black Dwarf and Ebony Maw in one box set, Drax and Ronan in another box set, and Hawkeye and Black Widow in another box set. And my current expectation is that those will release in April. And soon after this goes live, we should have those listed online on Discount Games Inc. for you to be able to purchase.
Now, I actually heard something else, Jay, that's pretty interesting that you didn't mention, which was that the second mat is apparently coming out next month, the one with the roundabout.
Uh-huh.
That was posted in like the group chat of their stream today, that the current plan is for the roundabout mat to come out then.
So that's exciting. would be great. Yeah.
It hasn't been solicited or anything, so.
Well,
no, it was solicited ages ago.
It was solicited ages ago. Yeah. It's just been sitting without a release date for a really long time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would be nice if that ended up releasing soon. So that's some product information updates.
It's pretty interesting that the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Black Order seem to be coming out over 2 months instead of coming out in 1 month together.
Yeah, yeah, that is. I think another thing that's interesting is that you know, I think that there's some people who kind of expected this to have releases maybe slowed down a little bit, and my expectation is that we're probably going to see like 3 to 4 items release a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would basically set as my baseline expectation if I was someone.
Yeah.
But it also means that it's going to get to the point where, unless you're a completionist, there's really no need to feel compulsed, like I have to buy everything, or and you know, there were a lot of people who are like, well, if I don't buy X item, I might not have X card, and like it feels to me like it's just so difficult trying to figure out what 8 action cards you're gonna whittle down to anyway. Like if you're missing one of those, is it really that big of a deal? I can see it a little bit on some of the scenario cards,
mm-hmm.
but I think that as more and more stuff releases as well, that's going to be less of an issue.
Yeah, so. And my take on the crisis cards is that if I have the crisis cards, that means everybody can play them with me.
Right, yeah.
And so that becomes less of an issue. And that was also my biggest kind of, well, I wish, you know, I do want to have all the crisis cards. Is it worth it to get a model that maybe isn't 100% the most excited for? I did see a lot of people in Facebook kind of questioning it and comparing it to the X-Wing model.
Yeah, yeah. And it does feel a little bit different to me, at least from what I understand of the X-Wing one. Like, in order to be competitive, it did kind of feel like you had to buy certain boxes that you weren't interested in other than besides the cards. And it really doesn't feel like you're at that, it really even a very noticeable disadvantage if you're missing cards.
Yeah, and with X-Wing, sometimes you would have to buy 3 packs,
right,
that maybe you, yeah, didn't want the ship, you just needed the card.
Right.
And someone was even saying, like, do I need to buy packs for the upgrade cards? And I really don't believe AMG has followed that at all.
Right.
I can't point to a single card that I would have to say is an auto-include.
Yeah, I mean, one of the closest that I feel is really strong or kind of in that category is in the core set. And so I don't know that there's too many that I would say fall into that with outside of the core set.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start our discussion. So we're going to talk today about Okoye. And so why don't we go ahead and start with reading her abilities?
Yeah. So so Okoye is a threat 2. And I'm starting with that specifically because I think we need to say that she's a threat 2 to kind of talk about a lot of things. she's the only other threat 2 we can compare her to is Black Widow. She has 4 stamina, just like Black Widow. She's a medium move, a size 2, normal human size. She has 3 defense in all 3 of her stats, so 3 physical, energy, and mystical. She has a normal strike that's range 2, power 4, strength 4, and cost 0 power, that says after it's resolved, you gain power equal to the damage. She has an energy attack that's range 4 and strength 4 and 0 cost, called Vibranium Spear Blast. And then it says after the attack is resolved, this character gains 1 power. So she's got a nice range 4 that costs 0. So that's useful. She has another physical attack called Vibranium Spear Thrust. That's a range 2. It's 5 power. And then it's 4 cost. Now, 5 power and 4 cost doesn't really seem that great, but on a wild, it does have 2 effects that will trigger off of 1 wild. First of all, you get Pierce, so you get to change one of the defending characters' successes to a blank. And then it also has Flurry. So this Flurry is that after the attacker is resolved, she can make a strike attack. So in an optimal situation, it is possible for Okoye to get 4 attacks off, because she'll do a Vibranium Spear, and then a Free Strike, and then a Vibranium Spear, and then a Free Strike. So that's pretty cool. I can see it being useful against characters like Hulk or MODOK, where you just get a bunch of attacks off, and she can do a lot of damage that way. I think the reason a lot of people might consider Okoye, though, is that she has the superpower Bodyguard, just like Captain America. It's a cost 2 superpower. When another ally character within 2 is targeted by an attack, she can use the power to become the target of their attack, regardless of range and line of sight. She has another nice little ability called General of the Dora Milaje, where she can reroll one of her attack or defense dice. And then she also has Martial Artist, just like Black Widow, that when she's defending against a physical or energy attack from within 2, she adds blanks to her defense roll. She is exactly the same on her injured side. Nothing changes. So, Jay, what do you think off the top of your head when you hear her?
So I've played a little bit with Okoye so far, and I guess some of my thoughts on with her is that she's very fragile, and so that's one liability with her. It's obviously offset by her being 2 points. You said mentioned bodyguard as a main reason why someone would take her, and I'm not entirely sure that that's true. Yes, it is a true statement, but I guess maybe the thing that I think that maybe people might take her more, as opposed to bodyguard is really her affiliation. I've seen a lot of lists that are Black Panther, Shuri, Killmonger, Okoye, and then something like Venom. Mm. And, you know, it rounds out a pretty solid Wakanda team, and you know, it feels like her kind of rounding out a Wakanda affiliation is one of the big reasons why I think you're likely to see her. I'm kind of curious how much you'll see her in other situations or other affiliations. Like my gut instinct is that it's likely not going to be a ton, but
really?
I'm curious. What are your thoughts?
I definitely had a different thought, and mine was that I think she fits better as like a Cabal bodyguard, since Avengers has access to an amazing bodyguard in Cap. Mm-hmm. Okoye is kind of she might be near MODOK or, you know, Red Skull if that need is there. And then she'll basically take a really powerful attack and be dazed in one shot. And so I felt like she was there to draw the really dangerous attacks off of your lists that don't have Captain America.
I guess here's my counterpoint to that. My concern with, so obviously I'm a big fan of MODOK. I think he's strong, but I think that you need to be kind of concerned when playing with MODOK about, I guess, this is maybe a magic or War Machine concept, but kind of support bloat, where like MODOK is already a lot of points. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing him in Cabal, you know, a lot of times the Red Skull isn't as, he's kind of a support piece as well. He can have some good offensive output, but I would say of the leaders we've seen so far, he's the least offensively impactful on the table. And so my concern is that, first of all, I don't think that you necessarily need Okoye to help with Red Skull, because he can, you know, hopefully hail Hydra onto something instead. So my concern with MODOK is that if you're having her to suck up that one big hit and try to keep MODOK alive, that's, you're basically at between MODOK, Okoye, and Red Skull, that's at 11 points of your list. And at that point, you're likely looking at, so you're doing 2 3-point characters, and it just doesn't seem like it's probably going to be a very good list to me.
Hmm.
I don't know. Diane, what are your thoughts on that?
I really thought Bodyguard can, I really do think that paying 2 points to basically shunt off 2 attacks was maybe going to be worth it. You know, like when somebody really goes all in on taking out the Hulk or MODOK or, I don't know, I guess maybe Loki with with the Mind Stone is 5 mm-hmm. points as well. And I just thought the idea of having a 2-point bodyguard that you could keep when you were worried about a character getting one-shotted before they got to do their activation for the round, or, you know, on a really key round, I thought she was definitely worth it. My one concern with that plan that I was kind of considering her for was that it's relatively easy to target Okoye and kill her with a weaker right. attack, and then right. use your stronger attack against the main target.
Right. Okay, so if we look at the roster, and this is assuming 17 points, which obviously that can change, but it's the most common point level currently. So if you have MODOK, Red Skull, and Okoye, I think you're looking at 2 of the 3 of the following. Crossbones, Zemo, and Shuri. I'm assuming that's probably the route you go with on the build. Is that correct?
I think a better choice might be Loki with a stone or Black Widow. Just because...
Is Loki Cabal?
Loki is Cabal, yeah.
Okay. But if you do Loki with a stone, that's 5 points, isn't it?
Yes. Loki okay. with the Mind Stone is 5 points. So, not optimal. So, yeah. maybe Loki with
you're,
Black
you're
Widow.
You're losing me even more.
So, I really like Loki. And with the Mind Stone, I think it's really
cool. Loki without the Mind Stone with Black Widow so that you have 2 2-point characters?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then a bunch of ranged attacks with a cheap bodyguard that can die real quick if you have to protect Loki or MODOK.
Okay, let's compare this to another list. So Red Skull with MODOK, Venom, and then either Killmonger or Black Panther.
Okay.
Or Ultron.
Yeah.
And you can do the Ultron drop off with Venom or Age of Ultron. And again, this may just be me being biased, but like I just don't like the way that the numbers work out in mm-hmm. In getting to 17 points with Cabal and I don't know, I think that you in Cabal you can likely find a better use of your 2 points. And I also like I do think that like bodyguard is really I guess maybe some of it is just like what your expectations have been anchored on, because mm-hmm. I'm used to having bodyguard with Captain America and it costing 1 power. And so yep. every time I'm like spending 2 power and on Okoye, I'm like, oh my God, this is so expensive. And where's all my power going? And why don't I have any power? And it's kind of difficult to do it like multiple times, like Captain America does.
Yeah. So, what about if we try to do it with an Avengers team where we're playing with Captain America and Hulk and Okoye?
Okay.
So if we plan that out, that's 15 points. That's 12 points, right?
Yeah.
So we need to fill in 5 more points. So we could do a list with Iron Man and Winter Soldier staying back, shooting artillery, and then we have Captain America, Hulk, Okoye up.
You're at 17 points. You're over points then, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, that would be 18 points. I'm sorry. So we would have 5 points, which would be a lot harder to fill in Avengers. But I guess we could throw MODOK back in there and then just be completely
then
crazy.
No, then you're not in Avengers.
Then you're not in Avengers.
It would be...
This is really hard to do, isn't it? Yeah.
It'd be something like Crossbones and Black Widow and your Gamma launching Crossbones and...
Or it could be Captain America, Captain Marvel... Black Panther, Okoye, and then a 3-coster.
Yeah, but at that point, why do you need the extra bodyguard?
Maybe like I'm Captain looking at this wrong. Maybe the point is to when you need a 2-point model to fill in, then Okoye fits right in as a bodyguard when you have 2 points that you're trying to fill.
Right.
I think both of us are kind of looking at her as like a different position. My struggle with the Wakandans is that when I make a Wakandan list, it's Black Panther, Killmonger, Shuri, and then I usually add in 2 non-Wakandans instead of Okoye.
I mean, I think that she's, I like her quite a bit as a Wakandan. And again, some of this comes down to points, but like, I do think that the list I talked about at the start is pretty solid, where you have the four Wakandans and Venom. If you're dropping her, like the other, so at that point you kind of have the option of either, again, assuming that we're playing a 17 point game, you have the option of a 2-cost character and a 4-point or 2 3-points. And I think that if you're looking at the 2 and 4, I do think she's better than Black Widow within the Wakandan affiliation. Mm-hmm. And I tend to think that, I mean, I guess it's kind of a toss up on whether or not you're better off doing a 2-point and 4-point. I tend to incline a little bit more towards 4-point characters, but I could see some decent arguments on like Baron Zemo and Crossbones or something like that. I don't know. I mean, if you have the option of, let's say you have the core three that you talked about, Killmonger, Black Panther, and Shuri, and then you have 6 points that you have left to spend.
Yeah.
Do you think that you're better off looking at Okoye and another 4-point model, like for example Venom, or do you think that you're better off doing 2 3-point characters, like for example Zemo and Crossbones?
I think you're better off doing 2 3-point characters. I like Shuri with as many attacks to like buy upgrades for as you can, and I think that Killmonger and Black Panther are both close range characters, so I like a couple long range attackers with them. However, if I wanted to do Venom, Okoye might be a much better choice to bring in.
Yeah.
And if you're bringing Wakanda Forever, it's a nice little bonus to be able to do her her spear thrust. Oh wait, no, you can't do Wakanda Forever with spear thrust, can you?
Yeah, it has to be zero.
Yeah, it has to be zero. Cost. But you can still use it on the spear blast or on the strike, and I think that's still a nice added value.
Okay, well, we will continue the discussion with Okoye in the next bonus episode. But before we get to that, we're going to start our comic book book club. And
yeah.
So this one is Doom War. And so why don't you go ahead and give us a quick rundown on that?
Yeah, so Doom War is a story where...
So real quick, before we get into this... This is one where we asked for some suggestions from the Patreon backers, is that correct?
No, I chose this.
Okay, so you chose this. So
I did.
I do like reading this storyline, especially where we read the Ta-Nehisi Coates arc of about Black Panther, and it referenced this part of the comics quite a bit in that arc, and so it was kind of cool getting the storyline that went on with that. Uh-huh. But it didn't really have Okoye in there at all.
I realized it had more of the Anika character.
Yeah.
And,
it does have a lot of the Dora Milaje.
Yeah.
And so I guess we can just say that she was one of those. Mm-hmm. But I did think that was kind of interesting. And I guess sorry to anyone who went in expecting that, but here we are.
Yeah, it's so something I found out because I was googling stories with Okoye and Doom War popped up, and I said, okay, cool, Doom War could be, you know, it's a big crossover event, Okoye's in it. Turns out Okoye is not in it, so that was a mistake I made. Something interesting about Okoye is that she had not been in any comics since 2003, when the Black Panther movie came out. For some reason, she was a character from the old Black Panther comic from the 90s, and she just has not been a character, and the movie like reintroduced her.
Okay.
And so it would have been a better choice for us to like jump ahead in the Kote arc and read if we wanted to focus on her. So this is going to be the first episode where our arc doesn't really cover the character, it's more about the affiliation of the Wakandans.
Yeah, and I think it's fine. It's just interesting to point that out. So let's go ahead and jump into the overview of the story arc.
Yeah. So essentially the story is about T'Challa has been, well, not T'Challa. T'Challa has been dethroned. Shuri is the current Black Panther of this when this story is happening. And Dr. Doom has used a he's like run a conspiracy to overthrow and take over Wakanda through these like these, you know, traitors in Wakanda. And essentially it's a big fight because T'Challa and a bunch of his superhero allies are trying to fight back and free Wakanda from Dr. Doom and get all the vibranium out. And the whole story has this, it starts out with this plot where Dr. Doom is trying to unlock the vault of vibranium. And there's all these, you know, different ways of protecting it. And there's a lot happening in this arc, but basically T'Challa has to get help from the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and Deadpool later on as a way of like combating Dr. Doom and all of his robots and all of his you know, machinations. So it's a big like fighty comic where there's always a big battle that has to be fought and moved to. And so they basically lose to Dr. Doom. He gets all the vibranium, which he's using the vibranium for magic, but he's also making a bunch of robots out of vibranium. And his robots are becoming stronger and stronger as the comics go because they're learning from all the battles. And so the heroes are trying to go and destroy all of Dr. Doom's factories, and punish Dr. Doom and like get the vibranium back. And like as the story goes, more superheroes start joining them. And the end of the comic is basically that they're fighting Dr. Doom and all of his Doom bots. And T'Challa asks Dr. Doom, you know, stand down for sanity and stop this. And Dr. Doom's laughing about how, you know, he's the ultimate warrior. And so the end of the arc is basically T'Challa uses, I forget what they call it, but it's like shadow science to turn all the vibranium, all of the purified vibranium from Wakanda, he turns it inert and useless, and kind of destroys all vibranium from Wakanda as a way to stop Dr. Doom. And then they defeat the robots, and like Doom ends up being arrested, and it ends with all of the superheroes coming in to rebuild Wakanda. Sounds about right?
Yeah, yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So why did we pick this one?
Well, like I said, I was looking for an Okoye arc, and the reason this one stood out was because it was a big superhero crossover event that Marvel did. It was supposed to be, you know, one of the things that led up to the Kote story that we did earlier about how this story is representative of maybe the missteps that T'Challa has had where Wakanda keeps getting invaded or taken over. So this was one example of the things that destabilized Wakanda before we read the Nation Under Our Feet arc. It was supposed to be, when I was looking for a good arc for us to focus on, the X-Men parts were supposed to be like some of the highlights of this. And I thought that would be pretty interesting, is seeing T'Challa interact with Storm and the X-Men. And I did actually enjoy those parts a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have any comments on the creative team of this arc?
I have not familiar with either of them. Both of them seem to be, you know, not the biggest like comic book names. I don't really recognize Jonathan Mayberry, who's the main writer. Scott Eaton he's been around. I remember he did a really big X-Men story. But I enjoyed the art. I thought the art was very like solid comic booky. It was very expressive, and If anything, I thought a lot of the characters look too angry sometimes, but other than that, I enjoyed it a lot.
So, I'm gonna say, like, a lot of things during this, talking about this comic book arc, and I want to preface it by saying that I did enjoy this arc, and so, like, when I say all these different critical things, I don't want it to sound like I didn't like the arc or that I'm super critical, or, although I guess I kind of am, of this arc. So that's my preface. But one thing I'll say about this creative team, and this is maybe, I'm not even sure if I should say this because it sounds kind of bad, but after reading this arc, after reading the Ta-Nehisi Coates arc, like, I didn't know anything about this creative team, but I read this arc, and it, like, one of the thoughts I had while reading this was, this feels like a white guy who is writing about Wakanda. And I just Googled Jonathan Mayberry, and he is a 61-year-old white guy. And it was just kind of interesting to me that they just kind of they felt very different to me, if from the, I guess, the creative force behind it. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but so usually we talk a little bit about additional background on the selected character. Is there anything you want to say about Okoye, even though she wasn't
featured much in this?
Yeah.
Not really. I think, you know, I kind of mentioned this before about the Dora Milaje as, like, as a group are really kind of strange, because they're created to be this, like, the wives in training, and T'Challa rejects that idea. And so Okoye and a lot of the other Dora Milaje originally came with the intention of trying to become the queen or the wife or the consort, whatever, for the king of Wakanda. And they stay because, you know, they recognize their, like, purpose as a really valuable force. And it, you know, we kind of see the, like, how they talk about, like, in Nation Under Our Feet, the Dora Milaje are the beloved ones. And that, I think that's really interesting. I think that I can definitely, just setting aside Okoye, because I feel like she's really, the only reason she's in the game is because of the Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
And so I did kind of want to talk about, like, that version of the character is now the Marvel version of the character.
Okay.
This is one of those examples of, like, the movie version
influencing the comics.
And very, very much so, yeah. And the same thing happened to Star-Lord. Star-Lord used to be really serious and kind of grim, and now he looks just like Chris Pratt, and he loves listening to music, and he jokes a lot. And his hair is blonde when it used to be brown. Like, it's one of those examples of the movie version was so iconic that it replaced the comic book version. And so Marvel Comic just kind of makes that the version of the character. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, honestly. I think it's a really good way to make sure that, like, you're not surprised when you pick up a comic. But I think definitely the kind of snarky Okoye from the movie, like, that's who we have. We have this really amazing warrior who is a little bit snarky and fun.
Okay. So within this story arc that we did do, what did you think of the various main characters?
I think I had the same feeling you had, Jay. Comparing this to Nation Under Our Feet, it doesn't look good.
And granted, what's the year of this story arc as well?
It's 2010. It's
okay. The reason why I say that is that it does seem like, as more time passes, Marvel and media in general is getting more adept at making this type of media.
Yeah. You know, someone was talking to me about, I guess it was the best way to phrase it is wokeness, you know?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And And they said something about, like, you know, 10 years ago, what would we, like, joke about if someone tried to, like, make a serious presentation about it? And I don't know if you know this game. There's a game called Gone Home.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It was released in 2013. So we're only 7 years past it. But
okay.
In this game, one of the major plot points is that there is a gay character.
Okay.
So you're learning this story in an empty house, basically. So you're like walking around and looking at all the things that are left behind, and you're like learning the story of these characters in this family. But when Gone Home came out, there were a lot of people that like made fun of it and ridiculed it and you know, sent hate mail. And it was 7 years ago, right? I can't imagine hearing about that happening now. And this to me feels like, you know, they're getting away with, you know, it's not woke, right? That's like, I don't have the words to express it clearly, I guess, right now, but it's a lot happening, and I don't feel like there's a very great reason for a lot of the things happening.
Listen, you said before we started recording that you were going to be like the counterweight to my rainy cloud on this one. So
yeah, I am.
Okay.
I am. But we're talking about, like, I feel like we're talking about the larger message and the tone.
Right. Yeah.
To which I would say there's not really one. It's more about the cool moments they fit in. And I mean, even for me, who's like a big comic nerd, some of them are really weird. Like Deadpool's Shining moment where he axes his way to into the castle and like sticks his head through the hole.
Uh-huh.
Like there's just some moments that don't come off very well. And it's, I think as a whole, the tone is kind of just, it's going from one cool moment to the next.
One of the things that I thought was kind of interesting about it was that, like, I read through this arc and everything that's going on, etc. And through all of it, like, I would say that T'Challa is the main character of this story arc.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't feel like he was really a very likable character.
He's really angry at everything, and he's really like reactive. But yeah, is he likable? Is he admirable? I feel like you can admire the T'Challa from like Nation Under Our Feet.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But is he admirable here?
I did think it was kind of interesting. Like, you had talked before about how in the comics T'Challa is one of the smartest people in the world, and there were kind of the moments in this where it kind of, like, if you're watching the movies, you kind of have the, you're used to Shuri being the one who's like super smart and uses gadgets and et cetera. And in this one, he's the one who's like, you know, I'm super smart, I'm going to have these plans with him in plans. And then Shuri's like, no, you need to stop that, because Doom's, thought too many steps ahead of you. And then he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to start being chaotic, and that's going to disrupt the plans and stuff like that. But I guess the reason why I bring it up is that it did kind of talk about that thing you had mentioned before about how basically the intellect of T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go ahead and pause there with our conversation, and we can continue our book club in the next episode. But before we do, Greg, do you want to preview the comic that we're going to do next?
Yeah, absolutely. So next episode, we are going to be doing Venom Lethal Protector. So this is actually the first miniseries Venom ever got on his own. And so if you look it up, it's just Venom Lethal Protector from 1993. And we'll be reading issues number 1 through 5, I believe. Gonna have to double check that there's not 6. There are 6, so we're gonna do issues 1 through 6.
Okay.
But yeah, and this is really cool because it introduces a lot of the well, I won't spoil it for you. It introduces some new characters.
And we promise that Venom will be in the story arc.
Yeah, I fucked up.
It's It's fine. It's fine. So, Greg, why don't you tell everyone what we think of the people who are backing us on Patreon?
Oh, man. Our Patreon backers are all chaotic good warriors that we will teleport into our enemies' castles because they are the front line of awesomeness. And they definitely won't be attacked by a superpowered Dr. Doom and have their necks snapped right away. That won't happen because our backers are just these incredible, awesome people.
That is correct. So if you back us on Patreon, you can listen to our bonus episode on where we continue our discussion on the book club and continue our discussion on Okoye. And you will share in the awesomeness of all the rest of the Patreon backers.
Yeah, you also get to be on our really cool Discord.
That is correct.